Good afternoon, and thank you for coming. And on behalf of my colleagues, I really appreciate this opportunity to take some time to describe a program to engage older adults in community issues and also describe an evaluation of that study, of that program. And basically, the overview of the presentation will be that I'll be giving you some background on the program and some literature on the engagement of older adults. I'll give you an overview of the programs, a brief description of my evaluation methods, and basically end with some findings and conclusions, so it should be a fairly brief presentation, actually. It's going to have no relationships to disclose. And basically, some background on the program is that the program I'm studying is one of eight projects that were funded by the Atlantic Philanthropies as part of something called the Community Experience Partnership, which was really kind of a visionary project to try to create a paradigm shift in the traditional view of older adults as needy, vulnerable, society burden, to one that recognizes the experience, skills, and resources that this population offers to their communities, and also to develop best practices for how community-based organizations can rally older adults to important community needs, supporting them as leaders, drivers of change, and also for the civic good. And there were eight projects in this final cohort, and they varied. So in Grand Rapids, they looked at homelessness, and in California and Los Angeles, they looked at immigrant engagement. In Maine, they looked at sort of environmental stewardship. And basically, the goal was to try to find projects that the seniors cared about and then have them lead these projects. And in terms of some of the literature, how this fits into the literature on civic engagement, basically it fits very well in the sense that civic participation has been positively associated with better physical and mental health in older adults. So that's been shown as an outcome of civic engagement, that there are these positive benefits. That the motivations for civic participation can vary, though generally there's a sense that people want to do something for their communities, that they have a urge to, the civic responsibility as their urge and their motivation. And that the length of their residence in the community and their stability in that neighborhood are predictors of civic participation. So you find people who've lived there a longer time are more likely to care about issues in their community and therefore get engaged. And so in New York, through a needs assessment process, there was a conclusion that in low-income communities, there was an issue of access to healthy food. And so basically, it was launched in 2010 with the goal to increase access to, knowledge about, and use of fresh and healthy foods in low-income communities in New York City, using older adults as a driving force, basically, in those projects. And funding for this project was matched from Atlantic Philanthropies with the New York Community Trust. And the Atlantic Philanthropies model was really to try to infuse this kind of ethic in the community trusts, actually. So all of the partnerships across the country were actually partnerships between the Atlantic Philanthropies and the community trust, so that they would sort of develop this kind of expertise and interest in civic engagement of older adults more generally. And there were six sites that were ultimately funded, but three were initially funded by the Atlantic Philanthropies, and those were the sites that I've actually spent the bulk of my time doing evaluation work on. So the findings here will really be on those projects. So I wanted to give you an overview of the projects because I think they're interesting, they're kind of inspiring, they were largely successful, and I thought you might find them interesting as well. So one of them is called East New York Farms. It's based out of the United Community Centers, which is in East New York and Brooklyn. And basically there, the program involved extending technical assistance to older adult gardeners in the community, and including those that sold food in their farmers markets, their own food in their farmers markets. They supported older adults in selling produce in their market. They trained community chefs and coordinated their presentations. And they strengthened intergenerational programming by hosting more events and also training older adults to work better with youth. Older adults were urban farmers, they were mentors, they were retailers in the farmers market, and they were community educators. And United Community Centers basically has a long history of urban agricultural work. It was sort of, a lot of the urban agricultural work was started in the 80s and early 90s in really blighted communities that were pretty abandoned, and they started transforming them into gardens And in many ways, those early gardeners have now just aged, and sort of not, like now suddenly their population of gardeners are just like older, essentially. And this project was really the first attempt to try to formalize their activities with older adults in their communities, though they had been long recognized as leaders. By its third year, this project, the older adults in the community sold about 3.25 tons of produce that they had grown, and they'd earned nearly $9,000 in income annually for themselves. And the farmers that they brought to their farmers market sold another 28 tons of produce. But those were like farmers from upstate who were selling in the community. So they were, you know, making an impact both in terms of engagement and the food access piece. The next community group was called Myrtle Avenue Revitalization Project, or MARP. It's also in Brooklyn, but a little further north, in a really rapidly gentrifying neighborhood, basically. And Myrtle Avenue Revitalization Project is a BID. It's a business improvement district. So its real intention was to try to create more business and commercial activity on this main strip of the town. But they found they really, in order to do that, they had to create some kind of better relationships with the large public housing communities that were in the middle of the community that's now, as I said, rapidly gentrifying. So they had done a lot of work over the years to address needs and try to build relationships, and had also come to the conclusion that the communities really wanted to do more gardening, actually largely for beautification reasons, and then they kind of transformed that into being more about food, actually, and, you know, educating them that they could actually grow food on public housing grounds. And that's what they did. They actually supported two community gardens on public housing grounds that mostly engaged older adult gardeners. They established a farm stand that was managed by two older adult supervisors, trained community chefs, and coordinated their presentations, and also established a community food council to plan, develop, and implement strategies to increase access to fresh food in the Fort Greene and Clinton Hill neighborhoods. Actually, in the process of gentrification, one of the main supermarkets in the neighborhood had disappeared in place of this large, fancy super tower that they call the Transformer, because it's like all glass and really fancy. And so they were. It was becoming, you know, access to food was becoming more challenging, even as other grocery stores were coming in with fancy produce displays and everything. So older adults there were gardeners, they were advocates, community officers, they were supervisors, educators, and mentors. And the farm stand there ultimately sold about 2.25 tons of produce annually. the third project was possibly the most ambitious in terms of its food goals, and was a new project for an agency that had historically worked with older adults, which was this Isabella Geriatric Center, which is in northern Manhattan. And it had partnered with a nonprofit organization that its whole intention actually is about food access. It was called Grow NYC. And the idea was Grow NYC would procure and distribute wholesale produce to them, and they would kind of create this year-round wholesale buyers club of produce, whereby residents would pay weekly for bundles of produce that were kind of prepackaged based on what was available and what was in season, what could they get for the price. They established a bilingual leadership committee of older adults who were responsible for designing and implementing all aspects of Yum. They conducted outreach and identified partners to try to build the distribution network for the Yum food bags. And older adults there were planners, they were marketers, distributors, managers, organizers, mentors, and educators. And by the third year, the orders had leveled off at about 50 bundles a week. But they had sold, on average, about 18.5 tons of produce each year. So over 55 tons overall. So it's a ton of produce, literally. And, you know, their kind of innovation in terms of how to work with older adults was really trying to get the leadership committee to take full ownership of the process, make all the decisions, and so forth. And they, you know, they struggled with that. All of this was basically done under the management of an organization called United Neighborhood Houses, which was basically a managing partner. They created a peer learning community among staff and project partners. They provided training and support to organizational partners. They connected community partners to older adult consultants. So really, they kind of carried the model of older adult leadership all the way through, from like the advising structure through the way the projects were set up in the community. They developed linkages with the partners to other work on civic engagement, and just did a lot of education and advocacy, trying to bring older adults together across the different sites. And so this picture is actually from a senior summit. And the UNH was also really interested in the evaluation. So they really became a main evaluation partner of ours. And I work for an organization called New York Academy of Medicine, which is a nonprofit, non-governmental organization. We do research, we do policy work, we do some programmatic work around a variety of areas, specifically, we try to focus on aging, health promotion, disease prevention, and health disparities. And in fact, this project kind of cut across many of our issue areas, both in terms of health promotion, the food aspect, and the aging aspect. So it's kind of nice to be able to get to work on it. So our goals were really to assess the process, using process and outcome measures, the extent to which the funded projects engaged older adults as a key resource, and addressed access to food. And we used a variety of methods over 3 years. So participant surveys, photo voice, which I don't know if anyone knows about, which is a participatory method, which you give people cameras and they take pictures and then they combine them with comments and have discussions. So it's kind of like focus groups around pictures that they've taken. We did participant focus groups as well, participant interviews, individual interviews, staff and stakeholder interviews, and consumer focus group. So as you can imagine, I have a lot to say about this project, and a lot more than probably would interest you. So I'm going to focus basically on a couple aspects of it, which are to say the health and the civic engagement components of it. But I will say just kind of as a background that in terms of who were the participants, and you might have kind of guessed this already from some of the pictures I've already shown you, that most of the participants were women of color. They were most likely, in one site, the MARP, the Business Improvement District area, that mostly worked with public housing residents, most of those participants were U.S. born. And the other two sites, more than half of them were actually born outside the U.S., either in the Caribbean or in Central and South America. Across all three sites, though, over 59% had some college education or more. So though they were low income as older adults, they were actually quite highly educated, and 45% were receiving Medicare, and only 18% received Medicaid, actually. So again, it sort of suggests a more educated, a group of people who had worked professionally in like a mainstream workforce. And that kind of gives you a sense of the kind of skills and attitudes maybe that might have been brought to the project. And the findings basically I'm going to focus on in terms of health and civic engagement, they may have seemed very obvious, but to some extent the funders were so skeptical that even groups putting out tons of produce into a community would have any health outcomes, you know, that would be positive whatsoever, just knowing how difficult it is to change behavior and change health outcomes, that they almost didn't even want me to measure health outcomes, actually. And then it turned out that health was one of the like strongest and most consistent findings of the evaluation. And so it was kind of inevitable that I was going to, you know, focus on health and a lot of the indicators. Also, moving forward, in case you don't want to listen to me anymore, I've included pictures from the photo voice and some of the quotes from the participants that are sort of related to the topics I'm talking about, but I'm not going to really spend much time talking about them. But they're there for your enjoyment because they're very interesting. But in terms of health, health was actually the most common reason for participating in healthy communities among the participants. So over 50% of them said that they improved in order to improve their health or well-being, thinking, again, you know, they'll have better access to better food, they'll learn things about eating healthier, and that was something that was very valuable to them. 86% reported that in the process of being a participant in the programs that they did feel better physically, and 96% reported it helped them feel better emotionally. And these varied very little by site. I mean, they were kind of like overwhelmingly positive, but there were some slight differences by organization. And I think basically the community group that had the urban gardeners that have been involved for decades, I think, felt the most impact in terms of the emotional and physical changes. But other health impacts that I can report on qualitatively are, you know, from quotes from a participant who's a community chef saying, "I completely changed the way I eat. I feel like a veil's been pulled from my eyes." She describes basically cooking more now, and the quote from the title comes from her, which is to say that she says her blood sugars are gorgeous these days. And another person said, you know, it's personally gotten me a lot better and healthier. It shows a lot of my lab values. My doc lowered my blood pressure medicine, and probably because I'm eating better. And she still has some health issues that are associated with her age, but, you know, overall, she, along with many other people, reported very similar things. And from a long-term gardener, this was an 80-year-old woman in East Harlem who'd been gardening for decades, and people would recognize her, you know, from the time they were children until now, gardening. She said, you know, I think if I wasn't keeping myself active, I wouldn't be the way I am now. The garden's very good for the health and my mind. I don't have to think I'm sorry for myself. I keep myself active, and it's good for my age. So in terms of the civic engagement, 94% of the participants did feel that the project made them feel their skills and experiences were valued. 94% felt that they had improved access to healthy food through their projects. 88% felt that they were helping their communities in their projects, and 87% felt that the projects had increased the involvement of older adults. And this varied, again, not terribly by organization. So it was pretty much across the board. And so in terms of civic engagement, this is from one of the few men who were involved, but he was, like, very involved. He wanted to go out and build hydroponic gardens so that they could feed the food pantry, and, you know, he was very active. And so he said, you know, I sat around feeling like, what am I going to do with the day? Walking the dog and having coffee with the boys did not appeal to me. I just finished the community chef's program. Cooking's my hobby, my love, and I'm blessed to be surrounded myself by like-minded people. It's not about the money, no doubt, because, of course, he wasn't getting paid for anything except for being a manager at the farm stand. He did get paid for that. It's just fun doing something. And he was also really active in the community pantry that was across the street from where he lived. So he's just really engaged. And so the connecting basically the health and the civic engagement, basically participants perceived improvements to their health due to better access to healthy food and new information about eating healthier. They had an improved sense of self-worth from being involved in projects that were considered to be important to themselves and their communities. And they really had increased sense of fulfillment for basically being actively engaged in activities outside the home with other people. And it's not to say that these were all people who were, like, at home all the time before. I mean, they had a history of community involvement and so forth, but it did seem, we did some comparisons of volunteer work, other volunteer work they did in the communities as well as this, and it did seem that these were very time-consuming projects. I mean, to be a gardener and tend to a garden or to work in food access and give cooking demonstrations, that kind of over time, this volunteer activity kind of overtook many other volunteer activities they did, and they had a real interest in the topic and therefore persisted with it over time. So in conclusion, basically the findings very much resonate with the literature on the civic engagement of older adults. Older adults not only perceived mental and physical health benefits for engagement, but were actually were motivated to be involved for those very reasons. And their goals were not only to help themselves, but to help others. And most were long-term residents who were aging in place in their communities. And so, again, it really speaks to this whole issue of the importance. If you want older adults to be engaged and be leaders in their communities, it has to be on an issue they care about, and it really matters to them and their communities. So basically, if you have any questions about this evaluation, you can reach me. Other questions about the program, you could also contact the project director at the Healthy Foods Project, which is Mr. Terry Kalber. So here's the contact information. Thank you.